Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Snell Nation. Sir Thomas here, as always, digging through all the distractions and all the barriers and things that are thrown out there to kind of steer you away from the truth and bring you the concepts and ideas and the stories and the people that truly matter. And of course, tonight is no exception. I was fortunate enough to bring on someone who's engaged in a bit of a battle. Of course, it's dubbed as, or I've dubbed it as, parents versus mask mandates. And I've talked about this topic before, but I was fortunate enough to get someone who's actually in the trenches, so to speak. And she also has some backup with her as well. I have Maria Nardé. Let me make sure, am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's Nardi.
I'm sorry. Maria Nardé, and also Dr. Cindy Marsden. As well, to provide that that medical expertise on just those physical issues that these mask mandates and all this stuff is imposing, how it's impacting our children, because that's the focus for tonight. So now with that, I'm going to go ahead and just open it up for, you know, I always feel like I have to ask permission, but is it okay if I call you Maria, or would you prefer?
No, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. So, you know, I'll pass it off to you just to give the listeners a little background on the case as far as, or the lawsuit, just what you're permitted to speak on, just to paint the picture before we go into some of the mask mandate stuff. So just go right ahead and dive right in.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you for having me on the show. First of all, it'll be nice to be able to, you know, get into the meat and potatoes of you know, why I'm doing this. I was interviewed by CBS Boston, and I provided a lot of technical details about why I decided to file suit against our school district, and I went, you know, it was pretty in depth, but what they edited out everything except the fluff. So it's nice to be able to have a chance to get into a more technical detail of why, you know, I'm bringing this suit against the school district. I have a child, or I have two children in high school, and one has since graduated and is in college, but my son is still a student at the high school. And, you know, so it's just what brought me to this point was that I have followed the data from the very beginning. You know, I was afraid of this virus back in January, February 2020. I took my family. We went to Universal Studios, and it was just starting to come out about this strange virus. And I made sure that we brought the Clorox wipes and the hand sanitizer, and I'm making the kids wash their hands because I really didn't know. You know, and of course, when you don't know, you have to be careful. But, you know, my profession is I'm a data analytics professional. I'm a software developer. I study forensic data for a living, and I see data anomalies. And by April, I just felt like something wasn't adding up. Something wasn't making sense. And they were just throwing these statistics out every night on the news and without any perspective. So I started to, you know, look at the CDC data, and I downloaded it and did some analysis on it. And I thought to myself, something is very wrong. And then I went and tried to, you know, connect with experts so I could get, you know, some kind of advice to see if I was alone in my thinking. Anyway, so I, and then they started with the mask mandates, and they had already said they don't work. We don't need them. So what was the change? There was no scientific study that was done to change, you know, their position. It was just random. And I looked at the studies. There was a CDC study that came out on influenza that clearly stated that masks were not effective in preventing transmission. You know, the influenza virus is bigger than the, you know, the COVID virus. So what was the point of, you know, saying that they just were not useful? And not helpful, and they're actually harmful. So they're not benign. You know, it's not, you know, people would say, "What's the big deal? Just put it on." No, it is a big deal because they're not benign. They have effects. So to see that, you know, that schools requiring these masks, it was obscene to me. And I knew that it could be dangerous for these kids who are supposed to be exposed at young ages to all kinds of things every day. In addition, the psychological repercussions of just not seeing facial expressions day after day, not being able to read people's emotions, especially from, you know, my son. And the fact that it was just a lie. I knew it was. I was 100% sure. So I just, I reached out to an attorney last June, and it wasn't willing to take the case. And then, you know, so I've just been fighting all year with the schools. Not fighting. I shouldn't say fighting. I would send them emails, and I would share studies, and I would share expert opinion from people that I had connected with who were doctors, epidemiologists, virologists. I didn't watch any news anymore because I no longer trusted it. It was the strangest thing. I had been connecting with all these experts who were saying one thing. And then I, even to watch TV for a few minutes, I was shocked at how far away from the truth they were speaking. So a couple of months ago, somebody found a statute hidden in New Hampshire that prevented, that was a law against putting any kind of restraint on a child's airways. And the attorney that I had reached out to last year was now willing to take the case. So I wanted to, and I had already connected with a number of parents, not just from our school district, but from other school districts. And, you know, everyone was just really, really concerned for their children's physical and psychological well-being.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Rate of depression. Kids, you know, kids were having headaches. My son was getting headaches all the time. You know, some kids are getting acne, as if, you know, teenagers aren't self-conscious enough, but, and, you know, but more, it was just more like just a you could just look at this, the sadness in all the children's eyes. So it's fine. If there's a deadly pandemic, it's a price you're willing to pay, right? But there was no reason for these masks, and children are not asymptomatic spreaders or, you know, of this virus. That's been proven. And asymptomatic people are not the drivers of disease.
Mm-hmm.
And never in the history of the world have people been sick until proven healthy. So anyway, regarding the lawsuit, I finally decided enough was enough. I had been emailing the school every day almost. I would title the emails Daily Dose Number One, Daily Dose Number Two, Daily Dose Number Three. You know, it went on and on. And then finally, when I've heard about the statute, I said, okay, well, maybe the attorney is willing to take this on at this point. And So I rallied these parents that had been, you know, we had all connected, and they all wanted to be part of this lawsuit and their children. And so that's where we are right now. We had our hearing, and I can't really speak on the technicalities of the case at this point because it's still, you know,
pending litigation. Mm-hmm, of course.
But I can tell you that our attorney has done a fantastic job. He's such a rock star. And he's vested in this case because he has children in New Hampshire School District as well. And he's also filing suit with another plaintiff in his school district. So it's not very often where you have your attorney who's fighting for the very same thing you are. So I just feel very thankful for him.
Now, you know, I read through the docket that you sent me, and it was appalling just looking at. I was reading through the statements, and it's not just simply the kids, you know, being mandated to wear the mask on the bus when they're traveling to school or in the school building while they're going to class, but there's all that. And when they're participating in extracurricular activities, you know, I'm no expert, but I love to run, and I've tried running with a mask on just for exercise to sort of simulate like a thin air or high altitude running. And that's incredibly difficult. And I'm in shape, I'm 38 years old, but I just couldn't imagine something like that being imposed on children for such, you know, a long period of time. And, you know, while I'm not an expert, fortunately we've got Dr. Marsden on, and I, you know, I'd love to get your take on just that impact of wearing those masks all the time for such young children.
Oh, well,
Thank you. I mean, some of it's just the common sense. Your CO2 levels are rising in a closed environment. You're re-inhaling the normal bacteria flora that you have in your mouth with that increased caries. The dentists have seen the big cause of the deaths, even the Spanish flu, was pneumonia. And that's worsened by having you re-respire all your gases that you're supposed to exhale. So some of it's just basic common sense. I think the people who are doing this out of sheer control know this. I mean, the world's not stupid. Mm-hmm. So there's the openings in the mask. There's synthetic materials. We're worried about plastic straws, and here we are accumulating a bunch of synthetic plastics from China to cover our faces up. And the virus is so small, all we're doing is sucking it right in and blowing it right back out. I mean, who's fooling who? Even the masks we wear in surgery don't even keep the viruses out. You wear an N95, and you're still, 120 nanometers? The N95s keep out 130 to 160. So the science isn't there, and we all knew it from the beginning. It's just amazing how quickly they can control an entire world population. And I think some of the harmful effects are in simply that control. These kids are getting bullied and feel guilty taking it off because that's the only world some of these kids will know.
Right.
So the humiliation.
It is.
The lockdowns are a whole other topic, but just the child abuse, the domestic abuse. I mean, we can go on and on with this topic. I'll try to hold it to Maria's.
Well, it's draconian, and it's absolute madness, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, you stated, as they like to say, the science, but of course it's turned more into a controlled pseudoscience where we listen to this one angle and the rest is just silenced, which that in itself shows malicious intent. And Maria, when we were talking yesterday, you mentioned how this isn't just negligence. Like this is criminal.
I believe it is. I truly do. When you see these children running track with masks on, it's obscene to me. It is. I can't even look at it. I might have a bit of PTSD with regard to it. But what's even worse is that the parents are they don't understand what's happening. They're allowing their children to believe that their body is frail and that they can't trust their own immune system and that they need to fear other healthy people. And that is psychological abuse. And for some of these young kids, they're going to carry that for the rest of their lives. And it's an absolute lie. It's, everything this year has been upside down, inside out, and backwards. And it's very, very scary what's going on. The whole thing about people who were pro-mask would constantly say, what's the big deal? This isn't about being ornery. This is about health. I mentioned to you about the British Medical Journal. This was an article way back in early 2020, stating that the masks can actually increase infection due to viral load. So if you are have a little bit of a virus in your trachea and you're just breathing normally, it would have no effect, right? You exhale it. But if you're breathing in your own humid air, that the virus can concentrate in your trachea and your lungs, and then you will become sick. So, I've seen this with both of my kids in school, and my daughter, when I went to visit her at the university, the kids are all coughing and they just look sick. I mean, they don't have COVID, but they have other issues. And they just looked so, they had just like vacant eyes. It was just terrible to see this and happening on a global scale, really. And I see it as a crime against humanity, and I won't stop until I will do everything I can to, save our children.
But I think it's amazing. I think it's courageous. And fortunately, in the state of Ohio, there's a lot of little ways to get around it, especially if your child's young. And my daughter's in a private school, and fortunately, there's voting, and there's a lot of communication that happens with their administration. But I feel for a lot of the kids that are in the public school system, and just I looked at just some of the guidelines and things that were being pushed out last summer for public schools in preparation for the fall. And I just looked at that stuff and some of those charts, and it's just like, this is insane. Like, and there's no actual science to back it up. And you just ask like, hey, you know, why are you pushing this so hard? And well, the CDC this, or well, the World Health Organization that, you know, even if the governor allowed those mandates to expire. And if I'm not mistaken, your governor in New Hampshire, I think it was mid-April when those mandates expired. So then my question is, you know, why is this continuing? I mean, is this the public, is this the school board just doing their own thing?
Well, I think we know what it is about, and it has to do with the teachers unions. I can't really speak further than that, but I believe the administration has their back against the wall. And so they're trying to, you know, manufacture stories to justify, but like I said, we exhausted every avenue. We went to school board meetings. We wrote emails. We showed them the data. And because they won't budge, we have to believe there's something else at play here. And that's why we brought it to the courts. And there's already been just some changes over the past few days in the state of New Hampshire. And of course, it's stated as, oh, new DHHS guidelines. But we know the truth. We know the truth. So.
Well, and it's good that, you know, this is good for, you know, just the audience out there, anyone who's listening, there are a lot of legal angles, and I can't stress enough legal angles you can work, depending on what state you're in, to adequately or articulate just how you feel, express your disgust and disdain for a lot of these guidelines. And, you know, there's data there, there's research there. It takes a little bit of work, but there's opportunity there. So, you know, for all those people that are protesting and signs, which is great, exercising your First Amendment rights, but taking that next step, you know, taking the information and everything and turning that into action, you know. So, you know, my next question for you, Maria, is just what's next? I guess I know there's more hearings, I'm assuming, and things that are going to come up here.
So we're waiting. We had the hearing last week, and so it's under review. I'm not really sure what happens next. This is my very first lawsuit ever. I'm no idea how this works. I'm trusting in my attorney. He's just such a knowledgeable rock star. He's a hero in my eyes. He's working with a number of districts in New Hampshire. He's done so much work for this case. And I just have to trust that, he's on this and he's got it. Prior to 2020, I was never, I was very private person. So being in the public eye is not something I'm comfortable with. And I've never really got on a soapbox about anything. Yeah, this is new territory for me. But when my children's health and their future is at risk, I think we all become mother lions. I know that Dr. Marsden is the same way. So she has children that she, you know, wants to have a.
Mr. Snell, for all those people there, I'll take this opportunity to put a little push in there. A lot of this work has been done. There's some legal pre-printed forms on America's Frontline Doctors. Dr. Simone Gold was a pioneer in the hydroxychloroquine treatment back in California and started this White Coat Conference in Washington, D.C., has paid the price for standing up. But she's also a lawyer. So there are pre-printed forms for the illegalities and how to fight it, the vaccinations, the mask mandates, failure to treat, and this needs to be a worldwide class action lawsuit. What other time in history has someone made rules with no basis behind it? We can't even operate on somebody and ask their HIV status, which puts us at risk, but they can sit there and not know your status as far as obviously you're not infected, you wouldn't be in school, you may walk around too sick, but they're mandating these things are just totally off the wall. So I think people need to realize this has been a big farce on society, and you know, we don't stand up now. There's not going to be anywhere to turn to. There's not going to be a way to stand up. We're going to be suppressed so far. I mean, who would have thought we would have listened to a bunch of bureaucrats for over a year to do the flattening of the curve that was supposed to take, you know, 90 days. So I think anybody listening out there, go to the website, America's Frontline Doctors, AFLD, and also Frontline Critical Care, COVID Critical Care, FLCCC. Tremendous resources, tremendous studies, all at a fingertip for all these doctors that have worked so hard to put all this information together that the public just needs to be made aware of.
And I'll also make sure I'll add those links in the description once I publish the podcast. So I think that's great information. And, you know, I'm even going to jump in there and take a look as well, because I've done quite a bit of digging, but you know, there's always an opportunity to learn a little bit more. So, you know, I greatly appreciate that. Now, as far as, I guess, if anyone wants to show any support for this your support for your case or anything like that, just, you know, what are some ways people can do that?
Well, there is a fundraiser on GiveSendGo for this lawsuit. If they, you know, any amount is welcome, and it's certainly, you know, if you're willing to share that, I could send you that link as well. I would appreciate that. One other resource that I wanted to mention, and I can send you this link as well, but there's great resources on a website called pandata.org. This is a data analytics group out of South Africa. And they have fantastic information on this website. There's also some videos that you can watch. Pandata.org is very good.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Thanks a lot for sharing that. And before we close out, are there any final comments, anything you want to say to the audience? I know great resources that you provided. I'll make sure I add those links in later on. But any closing statements?
I would just make an appeal to, you know, we need to start speaking to the children. You know, a lot of the children really don't know what's going on. It's like the adults all getting together to talk about it. But, you know, I think it's okay to talk to your children, talk to other children, because they are learning to just be just completely consumed by fear, and this is just a crime, and they need to understand that there's nothing to fear, and that, you know, they don't need to be walking around with a mask on, especially if there's no mandate. They should not be walking. They need fresh air. They need to be exposed to things every day. I learned a long time ago that every virus you're exposed to when you're young is one less virus that you can get when you're old and frail, and it's nature's way of protecting you when you're old, so that you can live in your retirement, live a long life and enjoy retirement after you don't have to work anymore. I mean, now we have this generation of children who are going to have a suppressed immune system as a result of an entire year or more of not being exposed to things that they should have been exposed to. So please, you know, we just need to start talking to the children, and that's, you know, that's an important first step.
And I couldn't agree more. And with my daughter, you know, she's six, when we're out and about, no mask, you know, sometimes she pulls it out because they talk about it at school. And I just tell her, put it away. You know, even if there is a mandate for me personally, I'll wear a mask, you know, for a short period of time if I'm walking through an establishment, something like that. But yeah, for her, it's just, no, these years are too precious for her development. You know, so we definitely see eye to eye there.
Right. And then I didn't mention to you that, you know, I mentioned the immune system, but there's also, you know, Colorado recently issued a state of emergency over pediatric mental health. They don't have enough beds to hold these children suffering from depression, anxiety, and it's all completely correlated with this lockdown, masks, you know, mask mandates and all that. So this is, you know, critical. And you know, we're seeing a crazy increase in suicides in young people in the past year. So enough is enough.
Well, and that's another thing I definitely want to discuss in the future, that that psychological cost or toll that it is taken on our adolescents and also on adults, because that seems to be another one of those topics that gets flagged when you bring it up in social media, that sort of thing. And I found myself in a bit of a tight spot where I was bumped off a couple different platforms talking about that specific thing, about that the rise in suicide rates and things like that. So yeah, that's definitely something that that is worth exploring and worth spreading out there. So definitely thank you for bringing that up.
Right. Yep.
So it was a pleasure having you on, and thank you for bringing Dr. Marzin along for the ride, and thank you for all your input and your resources and your links.
Thank you for having us, Sir Thomas, and I appreciate you bringing us on, and I thank Dr. Marzin for being here with me.
It's truly been a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll link up. I'd love to do a follow-up in a couple of weeks, once another hearing or two passes, just kind of give the listeners just an update. We can discuss some other, there'll be plenty of things to discuss along with that, I'm sure, whether it be vaccines or I won't call it vaccine, yeah. Shots and
don't open and up that like Pandora's that. Box unless you
Dr. Marzin can speak with you for hours on that. So I'm not an expert there. So.
Don't do it.
Okay. Well, I'll have to have you back on, Dr. Marzin, and we can just focus solely on shots. I'll just call them shots.
Yeah, shots.
Okay.
All right. So thank you for coming on once again, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
And
thank
we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Snell Nation out.